You're listening to Bob, Dave, and More on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Bob Skelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
It is Bob, Dave, and More here on 710 ESPN Seattle. Time for our player spotlight. And you always walk away with a smile on your face after talking to this guy. He's everybody's favorite, and he is with us once again. Tight end Luke Wilson is here. Luke, how are you, man?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're good. I got to imagine for you, this is, I know that you haven't had a ton of time out there on the field, but just being front and center, being a part of what I think could be maybe the best offense this franchise has ever had. Just give me a sense of what it's like out there. I mean, the Vikings game aside, it feels like you guys have been able to do whatever you want, whenever you want offensively.
Yeah, we've, especially, you know, through my 7 years in this team, it's been kind of cool to see the transition to what we've become. We are really, you know, firing on all cylinders, minus a few drives here and there. So it's been special. Like you said, it's been fun. And it's been fun just to see different guys really make some big-time plays. So we got a pretty good atmosphere going on, to say the least.
Luke, I think that's the most that you've ever talked about football on our show.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know. Was that Bob who started this out?
Yeah. We got to start out with what, man, the fans need to hear. The 12s want to hear.
I don't think the fans need to hear that. I think the fans need to hear. Let's hear about y'all's ratings, man. Is it up or down with Bob v. Danny?
Wow.
Serious, man, how you guys doing? Up or down? Who do I got to rag on? You know, Dave and Jim over there are the consistent guys, so Bob, if you guys are up, it's because of you, and if you're down,
well, there,
you,
we had this whole no sports and pandemic thing going on, so that kind of hit the entire radio industry. So it's
I don't know, man. That sounds like an excuse right now. You're telling me the ratings are down?
Actually, we went up this month. How about that?
Yeah. Okay. Now, is that fake news or real news?
No.
Hey, we can't say that here.
What do you mean? Why can't you say that?
You just can't.
We can't say which, what? I'm confused.
Never mind.
Fake news or real news?
We'll move on from there. But
uh-oh. Yeah. Bad news, huh? I touched a soft spot for someone. What's going on, guys? You want to talk about it?
No, we
probably shouldn't.
We don't want to talk about it. We want to talk about the things that are happening on this team that are not football related, Luke. And you're the juice master and getting these guys fired up. I mean, what kind of a difference is it? You know, Bob mentioned the offense and everything, but just in this environment, do you feel like you need to do a little bit more as the juice master, or a little bit less? It's just a different, I mean, you guys are all playing football and together and everything and traveling normally. You know, we don't get to go on the road and stuff, but for you, how different is it in this environment versus, you know, last year?
You know, I think on the road it's similar in the sense of, you know, on the road people aren't really cheering for you. I shouldn't say that. If we're in Arizona, we usually have more fans, Seattle fans.
Yeah.
And, you know, but if there's a team that has a decent following. So on the road it's kind of easier as far as game day goes. At home is where I think it's a huge difference. You know, usually having the 12s there, everybody going nuts, you know, it's just us. So we have kind of made an emphasis on being on the sideline as a group and really being into it and supporting each other and being very high energy on the sideline, you know, kind of create that energy environment, if you will. So that's definitely been a bit of a difference. But I think also what's been a bit strange is, you know, usually let's say we play an East Coast game. We fly in Friday. You know, we practice here and rent and fly in Friday and get there, let's call it midnight, Eastern time zone. And, you know, you've got a meal at the hotel. Everybody kind of sits around, chats. It's almost like a bit of a bonding time, so to speak. Well, now it's like, get your meal and go to your hotel. Uh-huh. Go to your room. Like, so I think even like that, it's been a little bit different. You're trying to find those moments where you can bond as a group or as a team, you know, because it's just been a bit of a challenge, but I think that we're doing a decent job.
Yeah.
Hey, Luke, if you'd been on the field, could you have caught Buda Baker?
I mean, I could catch Usain Bolt, you know what I'm saying? So the answer, that's yes. But that was probably the most impressive thing I've seen. I mean, it was like jaw-dropping watching it happen live. I was like, holy smokes. And it wasn't like he had an angle to like get him. He was 10 yards behind him in pretty much a straight line. I mean, it was pretty wild, man. I mean, what a very cool thing to see.
Is he the fastest guy on the team? I know Ugo Amadi is really fast. I know, you know, other guys have speed. Is DK the fastest on this team?
Yeah, I mean, guys would be mad at me for saying this, but I think if you're doing a straight 100-meter, DK is definitely going to win that.
Yeah.
That would be my guess, but I haven't seen everybody.
Well, and it's always different. Like, I know it was for me. Like, if you have a carrot dangling in front of you, you might actually run faster. You know, where you're just lining up running a 40, it's like, I don't know.
Yes.
There's not nearly the incentive there. So that's it.
Definitely.
Yeah. Hey, look, what have you watched in your downtime? Is there anything that's caught your eye? You know, I know for a while that Tiger King thing was going around. I know you're watching
that.
Yeah,
that was
kind
of off season. I did watch that. I thought it was nonsense. I didn't really find it that enjoyable.
Oh, really?
I don't know why everybody liked that so much. Did you like it?
Well, I didn't watch it. My wife and daughter watched it, but and they told me about the mess that it was, and so I declined. But yeah,
I'm kind of with Luke on that. I watched that whole thing, and it was good, but the hype was way over the top.
I agree.
Yeah,
it was way off. All my buddies were like, "Dude, it's hilarious. Got to watch it." I'm like, I don't find that funny. I just find it very sad.
Yeah. It was disturbing. What was good though? Did you find anything that was good to watch?
Well, I've got something, but I'm ashamed to say it, man. I don't know.
Go ahead, let it out.
I mean, so, we're not talking about like pornography or anything.
No. It's appropriate. It's just a bit childish, man.
Okay.
What is it?
I'm gonna give
you the whole rundown. Yes. Yeah, was that Bob? Bob called me out, man.
Yeah.
Animated? You're watching cartoons?
See, this is where it gets strange, man. A friend of mine.
Beavis and Butthead?
From back home was like, yo, listen, I know you're probably not into this, but you got to watch this show. I'm like, dude, I'm not watching that show. It's nuts. And I respect this person's opinion. He's like, listen, man, if you like Lord of the Rings, this is better. And I loved Lord of the Rings, whatever, a decade ago. I thought the trilogy of Lord of the Rings was incredible. So I'm like, dude, that's a very bold statement. So it's called Attack on Titan. It's one of those anime shows. Hmm. And to be honest, it was pretty fire, man. I'm not an anime guy. I'm not going to go watch a million more things. But I was into it. I was into it. It was, you know, 20-minute episodes, ripped through it. But here's the thing. And he said this, and he was correct. You've got to watch it in Japanese with English subtitles. I know that might sound absurd, but it makes it way better.
This sounds like a Dave Wyman type of show.
Yeah, Dave, you can't watch it with dubbed English. It just isn't good.
Yeah. Well, I'm an old man, and I always have the captions on anyway. So.
Oh, so you're good.
Yeah.
What have you guys been watching over there, man?
Seahawks football, for one.
Yeah.
But you know, other than that, I thought my favorite movie this offseason was Ford versus Ferrari. Really liked that one. Have you seen that, Luke?
I have. I have. Good movie.
Yeah. But other than that, just movies here and there. Trying to watch some stuff from the 80s, you know, back in the good old days, back before you were born.
Love that.
Yeah.
Jim's awfully quiet today, man. Is he okay over there?
Yeah. I just got off the golf course.
Usually that's a good thing. But
Yeah, everybody wins then.
A little worn out, Luke. I've been watching Yellowstone. Have you seen that at all?
I haven't, but a lot of guys here have. They said it's pretty good.
Okay, here's what I'll tell you about Yellowstone. Beth Dutton might be the best character I have seen in years. She's fantastic.
Okay, I gotta get on eventually then.
Yeah, she's foul-mouthed, and she's crazy. She's absolutely crazy.
Love that.
I got one for you. So I still read the newspaper. I love the newspaper. I get the Seattle Times, and I saw a headline the other day, and I thought, you were the very first person I thought of when I saw the headline. You ready for the headline?
Yeah.
They found water on the moon, Luke.
Ooh.
There's water on the moon, so that suggests that maybe, you know, we could live there someday. What do you think?
Sure. What was weird was that the big announcement? Because I don't know if you saw this online, but it was like NASA has a It's great. Not that I follow NASA, but anytime anything about the moon is mentioned, somebody tags me because of what I've said on the show. So it's like, NASA has a big announcement about the moon on Saturday. And I'm like, and someone was like, are they going to announce that they've never been there? No, it's all hyped. But sounds like they might announce that they found water on the moon.
What kind of reaction have you gotten for saying that? People get upset with you?
Well, what's upsetting is when I get put in the flat earth category.
Yeah.
Can I just get something off my chest, man? I feel like you've got your borderline, let's call them truthers, which I would consider myself, that, you know, like to push the social narratives at times. Then you've got your nuts who think the earth is flat. And somehow I just can't be a borderline like, hey, let me ask a few questions without being categorized as a conspiracy nut. Like, I get really upset when people are like, you said you believe the earth was flat. I'm like, I've never said that. Never in my life, man. All I said was that I think that there's some discrepancies on what was reported with the moon landing, what actually may or may not have happened.
Well,
you know,
what about the fact that Jim sat next to a guy on the plane who was on the moon? Is that right, Jim?
The guy that hit golf balls on the moon.
Really, Jim? You sat next to him?
Yeah, it was on a flight between Houston and Chicago.
And what did he say?
He told me about hitting golf balls on the moon, but you probably don't believe that happened either.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you, Jim. If you're ever sitting next to me on a plane and you want me to tell you about hitting golf balls on the moon, I will.
Okay. Thanks. I appreciate that, Luke.
I'm a good guy, man.
Did you watch the World Series last night?
Yeah, okay. We got to talk about this. Jim, okay, we got to talk about this, man.
I went back to your baseball career, and I read that story about how you were hitting bombs there at the Rogers Center, and there was
I like that. Jim did some homework, man. Yeah, I like this. Now we're talking.
Yeah, I had like 5 minutes to spare to go over the Luke Wilson Wikipedia page. The Canadian Junior National Team in 2008. And so, I mean, you got some pop in your bat, and I just was thinking, man, I want to ask Luke about what he thought about with the World Series and Kevin Cash last night, the decision he made to pull Blake Snell. Even though he'd been stymieing the Dodgers, they couldn't get anything off of him, but he went to analytics and it backfired. And I'm thinking, Luke, okay.
What analytics said that?
Well, it probably said that third time through the order that Blake Snell has a, you know, terrible ERA or something like that.
Okay, here's my gripe with this, right? It's like you get analytics based on numbers over an extended period of time. Okay. It's kind of like going to the casino. I'm going to equate this to going to the casino, right? People say, oh, that's a dumb bet. It's like, why is that a dumb bet? Oh, the odds are low. And it's like, first off, if you're playing the odds at the casino, you shouldn't be there because you're going to lose. You go to the casino to gamble. You got to play the stupid bets because those are the ones that pay big and hope that it hits one time.
So I thought the same thing, Luke, about craps, because sometimes the odds are the same on the dice every single time someone throws them, but you can't convince me of that because there's hot shooters and cold shooters.
No question. But like yesterday, it's like, okay, man, let's say we're in the regular season game and you've got a bullpen you like and blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay, man, analytically, I should make this play. Whatever. It doesn't work out, like, you're cool. But it's like, how do you not take any sort of, like, human emotion / like, I don't even, human grit / like any sort of, hey man, like, this is our guy into the equation when it's like, yo, let's just go analytics. It's kind of like when people say, like, you know, I could play if it was a Super Bowl, you know, and it's like, dude, it is the Super Bowl. Like, yo, I can strike out the third rotation through here if it's game six of the World Series, like my guy. It was game six of the World Series. You let your guy rip. I don't know. I it's hard to wrap my head around, and maybe I'm in the minority here.
No, you're in the majority.
The numbers guys, and it's easy, like, when it's hindsight, but it's like, and here's the other one. If it was a pitcher that's kind of been, like, so-so, up and down, like, hey, man, we got six strong from him, like, this is almost too good to be true right now. It only lasts for so long. Let's pull him. I get it. Our guy, I believe, is from Lake Stevens. Am I correct on that?
He's up here.
Shoreline.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a savage.
You know what he should have done, Luke? He should have pulled a Jimmy Chitwood. Remember in the movie Hoosiers where they tried to run a play where it was going to go to somebody else, and he looks at the coach and goes, I'll make it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what Blake Snell should have given that speech to his coach.
He looked disgusted when he got pulled.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was not
imagine
happy.
Being this guy, though. Who was the guy who got pulled out of the game for COVID?
Oh, Turner. Oh,
Justin Turner.
Yeah.
So let me get this straight. I didn't see this live, but so in the middle of the sixth inning, they were like, hey, buddy, you got COVID. You got to go.
Yeah. And then he came back out.
Well, they kept him in until they went ahead.
After the game was over and they're out there taking pictures on the field and celebrating, he was back out there with everybody.
Bob, you sound like you're very upset about that.
I thought it was really, really irresponsible because you don't know what anybody else's family situation is, if they've got elderly parents or they got family members.
What if it was here's the question, what if it was a false positive?
It's possible, but do you err on the side of caution or do you say, hey, we won, who cares?
The World Series, man. Probably going to say, hey, we won, who cares?
I would feel terrible if I got somebody sick and it went to their parents or some family member that had health conditions. I couldn't live with myself.
I mean, I feel like if you're around this guy, maybe you should not go home to your sick family members right away. I don't know. If I was like a teammate, let's say we won the Super Bowl and somebody in the middle of the second half got COVID, had zero symptoms, I might be like, hey, man, welcome to come back, enjoy everything you've done for this team, and like I'll spend an extra 5 or 6 days maybe in self-isolation or continuing to test and monitor my situation before I see anybody who's perhaps at high risk.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know, man. I don't know. Maybe I'm in the minority there, too.
I don't know.
I'm back walking on eggshells again, man.
Delicate situation, Luke.
You know, I feel like I'm going to get blasted online right now and be labeled something that I'm not.
Yeah, yeah, you're going to get called a name. Well, they, like you said at the beginning of the interview, just let it rip, man. You're letting it rip right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm spewing. I'll be honest. I didn't really like when you guys told me I'm not allowed to say certain phrases, man. I felt pretty strange about
being
that.
Censored. Yeah.
I just come on here to have a good time, and you guys are trying to control the narrative right now. It's pretty messed up.
now we're being told by your guy we got to wrap.
I've got one last one. Can I sneak one more in?
No, Jim.
Yeah, Jim. One more, Jim. Let me rip, my guy. What do you got?
Okay, Luke, it's a human nature question, and Dave always poo-poos my human nature stuff. I'm just wondering, Luke Wilson, if you guys are 10-1 when you face the 0-11 Jets, will you be as up for that game as you would be for this one coming up against the 49ers?
100%.
Really?
That's not the answer he was looking for.
In this building, yes.
Luke, I was looking for like
division.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
That was a good try, Jim.
I wasn't looking for that answer.
That, as we can all see,
you're a professional.
It looks like a one, professional. Two, as you guys know, Pete has always preached like every game is championship opportunity, and we talk about it every week. I've talked about that every week for 7 years. Okay. Trust me on that one. I'm not kidding. And then the third reason is if we're not up, we will lose because this is the NFL. And 10-2 in this state, in whatever, that could cost the division. That could cost a home field game in the playoffs. Like, you just don't know, man. It's going to get, I mean, there's going to be some good teams in this NFC West now.
There you go, Jim.
Okay.
Jim, I'm sorry, man.
That hurt.
Luke, you let me down, man.
Sorry, Jim. No,
what do you expect Luke to say? Yeah, we're probably not going to be up for that one. And even though it's a professional football team. Because they're a professional football team, for God's sake.
Barely.
No.
But here's the thing, though. Here's the thing, Jim. When you play teams like that, especially late in the year, the edge that they have is they have nothing to lose.
Yeah.
You know what I mean by that is, like, let's say we play the Jets and they are 0-11. Have they not won a game yet?
They have not.
Okay, so let's say they are 0-11. They're going to walk into that game with 10 deceptive plays ready to call whenever. 3 fake punts, a fake field goal. I'm not saying they'll call them all. It'll be like, yo, let's say it's 4th and 5 from our 40. Like, dude, we're going for it. What's the difference? You know what I'm saying? It's like you play a team that has nothing to lose, man. Sometimes they're tough to beat.
Yeah. Hey, Luke, thanks a lot, Luke. Are you hanging in there okay?
Oh, man, you know, I'm doing good. It's a bit strange. I'll be honest with you, Jim. It's a bit strange, but I'm doing well.
Okay, it's good to hear.
We appreciate it, Luke. Thanks so much, man. We love you. We wish you the best, and hopefully we're talking soon.
All right, thank you, guys.
There you go. Luke Wilson, the Seahawks player spotlight, is brought to you by Michael's Automotive Group. Always in. I made the mistake of asking him a football question to open things up.
Well,
what was I thinking?
He answered it, though.
He did. I just want to know what it's like to be, because he's been there in for a length of time. Obviously, he stepped away for a while, was with the Raiders and all that. But, you know, he's seen other offenses.
Yeah.
To see that, I just want to know what it looks like to him. Like, this is something we haven't experienced before.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, usually when you ask him that question, he'll go, well, we're just out there trying to execute, taking him one play at a time. And
he'll give you the...
Yeah, he's got the canned answer. But everybody loves Luke. Everybody loves Luke. So, yeah, just Bob and I were sitting here speculating, Jim, what do you think Luke does after his football career, which we hope is a little ways away? But I feel like it needs to be something that brings out his personality. I don't see him coaching necessarily, and I don't see him really even doing like color commentary or anything like that. I feel like he would do some kind of a podcast or something where he would get all kinds of people on and just say whatever came to his mind.
Yeah. Well, I see him taking my job. I mean, he could fill in, couldn't he? I mean, you think about him and everything that he talks about, and he's always entertaining. And you know, that last question I asked him, I probably should have asked it earlier because
how he was doing.
Yeah, because it's got to be a weird season for him. And he even admitted that it's a little different. I mean, he's had 7 offensive snaps, one against Atlanta, 6 against Miami, inactive this last week. He's played special teams, but not that many snaps there either. Some, but, you know, quite a come down for a guy that's used to being in the middle of it. And, boy, just so many tight ends, though. I'm kind of hoping in a way that Hollister gets traded before the trading deadline. I've got nothing against him. In fact, you guys know I like him. He's from Bend, Oregon. You know how I like that about him, Bob. And Hollister was really effective toward the end of last year. But, boy, it just seems like Luke's really caught up in the numbers game this year. And I think we're starting to see the beginning of the end of his career here.
All right. Coming up, Dave Wyman's got some good news from Sunday's loss to the Cardinals. He'll explain what it is with his Football 101 breakdown. That's coming up next with Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and Moore.
Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
A reminder, you can listen to our show via the 710 Sports app. It's powered by Dubin Law Group. You can download it for free and take us with you wherever you go. You never want to miss a moment of this show. And you can take us with you. You can watch video. You could even watch Dave Wyman's Football 101. How about that? So you've got access to everything, and again, at the right price. Free.
Free. 710sports.com.
But you've got a new video up there at 710sports.com.
Yeah, and we looked at, you know, it was trying to find good things in the defense. And so I'm sticking with defense because I texted Brent Stecker of the Stecker Theory and 710sports.com. And I was like, what do I do? I mean, it was a terrible defensively, terrible game, but, you know, talked about maybe doing Tyler Lockett. But Jordan Brooks, because I remember thinking this during the game, during the broadcast, a couple of plays that he made, and actually more than a couple. There was a second and one series, and these are plays that are not on the Football 101, but they were second and one, then third and one, then fourth and one, and they finally got I don't remember if it was at the end of the fourth quarter or it was in overtime, but it was a series where they were, you know, trying to get a first down. They pick up 9 yards, and because of playing a really soft run defense, and then all of a sudden they stiffened up, and he was and Jordan Brooks was part of it. He was just smashing, and then twice on the 3 plays he knocked over either a guard or a tackle because he's attacking. He's attacking the line of scrimmage. So that's what I love about him. But what really stood out was in the first quarter, there was a deep crosser that he picked up, and that has killed this defense. And, you know, they were in cover 3, and so you got 3 guys deep, and you got 4 guys underneath. And the guys, I've been saying this, the guys deep, they need help. They need help from the underneath guys because, you know, there's just too many 15, 20-yard completions that are happening in the middle of those zones. The other thing is when you're in cover 3, you only get 4 underneath droppers instead of 5. You know, you have less guys deep in cover 2, but you got 5 guys underneath. With cover 3, you've only got 4 guys underneath, and that's the 3 linebackers and the strong safety. So, but, you know, so you got to do a little bit extra work. So what Jordan Brooks recognizes it's kind of a play-action fake. The strength of the formation is to his right. He's on the weak side away from the tight end and the two receivers, or two tight ends and one receiver. They play-action that way, and then they come back. All the, you know, this crosser comes all the way across. Just trying
to his side.
Yeah, to his side. So just trying to, you know, make sure you're trying to fool the defense a little bit. You're trying to get them to flow towards the strong side, and then you're going to bring a guy all the way across. And he ended up being 33 yards deep. So Brooks just takes a back pedal. He gets about 10 yards of depth. And we did this on Brock Heward's little football camp. I have a drill every year with the linebackers where you back pedal and then you flip your hips and turn and run. And it's something really important. And Jordan Brooks, like, it's like a textbook case of he's in a back pedal and he just flips his hips. He turns and runs with the tight end and ends up being like 33 yards. And they try to hit him. They try to complete that pass. And it ends up kind of going over everybody's head. It wasn't a good throw. As we know, Murray can be fairly inaccurate downfield. But, you know, it was just he was right there and he helped out the safety. And later on in the game, that same play happens, and it doesn't get picked up by the linebacker. A deep crossing by the same guy, David Arnold, the tight end. It was a 41-yard play that ended up being the longest play of the game.
Who was the linebacker on that play?
I can't remember. So, yeah, I mean, he was backside and couldn't see who, you know, he didn't pick up the tight end like Jordan Brooks did. Jordan Brooks is a rookie. So, I mean, it was really well done by him to do that. The other play was after the ridiculous DK Metcalf rundown. You know, they're down there. They go four downs. And on third and two, he ends up making a play where I mentioned this in the video and I didn't explain the triangle. So the two guards and the center, we used to call that the blocking triangle. When you're right in the middle, right over the center, you're just reading, are those three guys going all the same way? Are they just coming straight out? Is there a block down and a pull? Mm-hmm. And so that's what happened. There was a block down and a pull on a quarterback sweep to his right. And he read it like right away, pulling guard. And he actually beats the pulling guard to the point where he's able to go through and make a tackle. And it was a loss, tackle for a loss. Next play, fourth down, they try to throw it. They had to throw it away. And it was a really good pass rush by Benson Mayoa. But, you know, because he was there to make that tackle mm-hmm. on the third and two, that's that basically rewarded DK Metcalf for all his hard work because they turned him away. Didn't get a single point out of it. So, by the way, they go down the field after that, right? So they stop him fourth down. DK Metcalf makes his tackle. They stop him in four downs. Then they go all the way down the field. They end up scoring a 34-yard run by Carlos Hyde. Mm-hmm. That's the one I was explaining where Dwayne Brown. Yep. pulls out. Guess who makes the crackback block to get him around? DK Metcalf. And he actually kills the linebacker. I mean, he didn't knock him on his butt, but it was a really good block. So DK just... Everything I was talking this morning with Ryan Roland Smith about DK Metcalf, and he was asking, like, is this guy about the hype? Is he as good as they say? And I just went on and on about those kinds of plays, man.
You did this over text?
Yeah.
That's a lot of words.
Well, I was talking into it, but yeah, I mean, it's he is as advertised. I was brought up the old looks like Tarzan, plays like Jane type of
right.
thing. He looks like Tarzan and plays like Tarzan.
So Jordan Brooks, and I don't know if you have it in front of you, but do you know how often he was on the field, like percentage of plays? I know we get that in the game
yeah.
breakdown.
I want to say it was about 35, 40%.
Oh, I've got it. Yeah, 45%, 38 snaps.
In the last game?
Yeah.
So he's...
And he took away... Cody Barton didn't play a single snap on defense the other night.
Mm. Yeah, and, you know, look, I like Barton because he's physical, and they're going to need to be really physical in this game. There can't be any catching blocks. There can't be any, you know, retreating and, you know, tackling guys 6, 7, 8, 9 yards downfield in the run game. They got to attack the line of scrimmage, and that's the one thing I've really liked about Cody Barton is that he's been able to do that. Not as smooth in space, though. And I don't see Cody necessarily making that play on the deep crosser that Jordan Brooks did. And, you know, here's another thing that's really – impressive about him, and this is promising. Okay, we're saying that there's some promising things we're seeing on defense. It's not happening just yet, but he didn't have much zone drop in college from what I saw. He was more of a spy guy. He was more of a man-to-man guy. So understanding zones and what other teams are trying to do to you, he's already at a very high level as far as his football IQ. Kind of reminds me a little bit, not quite, but a little bit of Lofotutupu from what I'm seeing of how he's reading.
You mean your favorite Seahawks linebacker of all time?
Favorite Seahawk linebacker of all time, including myself.
But yeah. You like him more than you.
I'm way down the list, by the way.
I like him so much more than me.
Way down the list. Yeah. So, but yeah, for that, the sophistication of those reads and everything, it was almost uncanny. I mean, it was really promising, like I said. So that's really cool to see that. And Jordan Brooks, you know, first round draft choice, number 27 pick. I feel like he can do a lot of good this year. A lot of good. So we'll see. But I don't think he's going to be like L.J. Collier. And I originally thought, hey, maybe he will be, and we'll have to wait till his second year.
Felt like there was a lot in front of him, right? We were fairly positive about Barton. You have Bobby and KJ there. So it felt like, all right, where are his snaps going to come from? It felt like just by default, maybe he wouldn't have much of an impact.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And that's not what the problem was for L.J. Collier, because, you know, that was kind of up for grabs for everybody to, you know, shine playing D-line. So, yeah, exactly. You didn't think he was going to get much of a chance, but I sure hope he does get more. So, you know, and I don't know, you know, if they're going to end up taking him out in nickel, but, you know, you've got KJ and Bobby that usually stay in. Maybe they will start to use him a little bit in the nickel, too, but. Yeah, like you said, what did that end up being, Jim? Like 43% of the plays?
Yeah, 45%.
Yeah, so, you know, I'd like to see him out there more, but, you know, those are the kinds of things that once you do that, you know he can do that. He has the experience now of having read those plays. That was the most exciting part to me. So,
all right, coming up, the decision by Kevin Cash to take Blake Snell out early last night has been widely debated, as you've heard. So should you trust analytics or instincts? We'll get into that conversation next with Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
Well, the baseball season came to an end last night. The Los Angeles Dodgers win the World Series. Before we get into the decision, does it change anything for you that it was a 60-game series?
Yeah.
Or a 60-game season, excuse me, series. A 60-game season, and for the better part of it, there were no fans, and yet some fans, obviously, in various areas. But, I mean, unlike anything that's ever taken place that we've seen, do you look at it differently and go, yeah, you won, but... It was, I don't know how to articulate it. It just feels, I'm not trying to take anything away from the Dodgers because everybody was faced with the same circumstances, but it just feels like there's something to going through a 162 game grind and then grinding through the postseason and finding the promised land versus, I'm not saying it was easy, but 60 games, I don't know. I feel differently about it, I guess is my conclusion.
I'm glad you brought that up because I saw a look on Clayton Kershaw's face where he's like, oh, man, we made it. I can't believe, you know, like this relief. And, like, it was a look of a guy who had been through this long struggle. And I was like, was it? You know, 60 games, it's a third pretty much of the season. A little bit, how's my math there? 180
well, there's,
games.
There's 162.
Not very good. Not very good. But still, I mean, look, that. It definitely did have a little bit. And again, it doesn't take anything away. I think the Dodgers are the best team in baseball. But, yeah, going through the whole grind and everything, you know, it'd be like, what, playing six or seven? Once again, yeah, how's my math?
Well, every 10 games in baseball would be one, essentially, for a football season.
Right. So, yeah, it not taking anything away from them, like you said. But it did not come off as, like, this incredible grind.
Yeah, it'd be like a six-game season in the NFL, six or seven
games? I was thinking about it today, though. I think if I'm a Dodger fan, I'm excited about it. But, if I'm a Giants fan, I think the Giants are the biggest rivals of the Dodgers.
Yeah, they are.
I'd be just left and right saying, yeah, okay, you guys think you won it in 2020, but it wasn't a full season. I'd have all kinds of caveats that I'd be bringing up about you guys not really proving anything to us until you do it over the course of a full season.
Yeah. I didn't really care who won. I was sort of rooting for the Rays because of Zanino, but not trying to take anything away, but it's just that's part of the achievement of a World Series winner, in my opinion, as a longtime baseball fan, is getting through that grind. Mm-hmm. 162 games. I mean, that is an eternity. And then the postseason starts.
Did it make you feel like they should reduce the number of games?
Yeah, I wouldn't be as much
like
of
140 or something like that, or 120.
Yeah, as much of a traditionalist as I am, I don't like to see, you know, the runner on second, I think, is gimmicky nonsense. And, you know, seven-inning doubleheaders, I don't like that. I could, if they shorten the season, I'd be okay with that.
Yeah,
I think it is too long. But having said that, it just that's where that level of respect comes in a very big way for a World Series winner, that they went through that gauntlet and then started the postseason and found their way there. So
a lot of people saying that Kershaw looked that way because the last time they were in the World Series, they lost to cheaters.
Yeah. I'm just glad that, yeah, I mean, I didn't care who won. I was just happy the Astros weren't there.
Yeah, right.
That was it. But the big story coming out of this was the move made by the Rays to pull Snell out of the game when he was coasting. He was rolling under 73 pitches, 9 strikeouts. They hadn't had one hit. I mean, he was absolutely on fire, and they stuck with what they had been doing throughout the season, which I get in principle. Like, this is who we are. This is how we've gotten here. Why would we now abandon that? And I agree with part of that. The other part is I think you have to read the situation, though. You have to look at the pitch count. You have to look at how many at-bats was he grinding out. He wasn't. You know, how many high-intensity at-bats were there? How many moments, high-stress moments were there? There really weren't. I mean, it was just, I think you can go with your philosophy, so to speak, but you have to, the situation is unique in and of itself, and you have to treat it that way. You can't just say, well, this is who we are, it's black and white, and it doesn't matter what game, what day, what situation, it's always this. I don't think you can be that inflexible.
Yeah. But then you go away from what you've done. Like, the comparison that I made was the Dallas Cowboy playoff game a couple of years ago.
Right.
Like, do you go away from what has gotten you there? And, you know, and then there's the gut thing. And I just think I don't really think one way or another. I do believe that it's a really good discussion, though. And in cut number 8, I was listening, the reason why this came about, I was listening to Tom, Jake, and Stacy, and I thought Wassel and Jake kind of had a good back and forth talking about what happened last night.
Sorry, I didn't know I was going to play.
Oh, that. I'm sorry, Tom.
Here we go. I got it right here.
And I'm not anti-analytics at all. Okay, at all. They work over the long haul. If you play the percentages, basically what you're saying, and this is in any sport, not just baseball, but basically what you're saying, if you're playing percentages, is that I'm going to win more often than I'm going to lose. And when you play 162 or even 60, you can do that. For one game in July or a series of games in July, August, whatever it is, play the percentages of your team, you're probably going to win more often. But the analytics do not apply so directly in individual situations, especially do or die. If your guy's got it working in an elimination game, you leave him in.
Yeah. So, you know, the other thing, he was sort of bringing up the gut feeling that mm-hmm. you get there. And then, you know, Jake came back and said, hey, look, you know, you've gone with this all year. So it's a great debate. But Wassel brought up Jack Morris, a 10-inning shutout in Game 7 of 91, Kirk Gibson, Schilling with the bloody sock, and then he mentioned Willis Reed with the Knicks. I mean, you just kind of go with a gut feeling mm-hmm. of, you know, what you believe there. But, you know, and I mentioned the Jimmy Chitwood thing where, remember in the movie Hoosiers, yeah. he's like, Coach, I'll make it.
Yeah.
You know, I wonder if Snell tried to do that. I wonder how that conversation
He looked displeased.
Went.
I'm not sure what he said.
Well, the manager already raised his right arm on the way to the mound.
Yeah, before he got to the mound.
Right.
Yeah. So the move was made. There was no talk. I don't think he can go, wait, hold on, go back.
Yeah.
You go back. No, I changed my mind. We're going to leave him in.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think.
Yeah. Once you raise your arm.
I think once he made that call. And so he did it even before there was a word exchanged.
I never knew that. I'll be honest with you. That once you wave your arm,
I don't know if that's a rule or not, but he did make the call before he got there. I don't know that he can at that point.
So he couldn't have talked him out of it.
Maybe he could. I've never seen it, though. I've never seen anybody go, well, hang on. Whoops, I jumped the gun there. He talked me out of it. We're going to leave him in.
Well, let me ask you, Jim. Are you a gut guy or are you an analytics guy?
You know.
Well, no, I'm more of a gut guy, but, you know,
human nature and all.
Yeah, human nature. But last night while watching it, I was like most everyone else thinking, what are they doing? This guy's dominating. Snell thought that himself. He talked to reporters afterwards. But then the more you get into it, you can kind of see why Cash did what he did, even though I still don't agree with it. But the more you look into it, I have Blake Snell's game logs up on my screen right now. Mm-hmm. He didn't pitch over 5 2/3 innings this whole season, and mm-hmm. he had like a dozen starts. And then they also had the analytics where he had a 7.42 OPS the third time through the order. With batters against him, and then the right-handed batters were 1,072 OPS, and he had Betts coming up, a right-handed batter, Seager, a lefty, and then Turner, a right-hander. And then with Nick Anderson, the guy that came in, people are saying, why would you bring Anderson in? He's given up a run in 6 straight postseason outings, but like Wassel was saying, when you look at the long view of it, he had an 0.55 ERA during the regular season, so you like what you saw during the regular season. He'd struggled a little bit in the postseason. So I can see a little bit more from the analytics point of view. And again, like I was saying earlier in the show, I was just thinking the Rays probably wouldn't have been there if they hadn't relied so much on analytics. They wouldn't have made it to Game 6 of the World Series. So you got to kind of stick with what got you there.
Well, and just really quick, I was going to say, you know, maybe the, you know, when the Seahawks, I made that comparison, and that was Solari then in 2018, I believe. Yeah. What if the, you know, he's like, hey, I like my guy's attitude right now. They're, you know, J.R. Sweezy steps up. Hey, we can run the ball on these guys. We just got to do that. You know, that's kind of maybe what happened. Maybe they went with kind of a gut feel there.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that kind of, I guess
it's
I
It's no fun that they take the emotion out of the game, though.
Yeah.
Well, and those are different. And we talked about this for a moment before the show that, in the Seahawks case, they stuck to their principles and this is who we are and what we do, but it wasn't working. They were having no success with it, yet they were sticking with it versus, all right, this guy's rolling. Do we stick to our principles? I mean, he's had no high – again, they always talk about these high-intensity situations or these high-impact situations for pitchers. He hadn't gone through any of that. I just think and it's working. You know.
Yeah, you know, though, Bob, if after the game, if he'd been roughed up by Betts and Seager and Justin Turner and, you know, more two-out hits, there would have been a reporter asking him, you know, the analytics show that you should have pulled him before you did.
Yeah. No, so. You're right. And I give Cash credit. He stood up and said, hey, this is the move we made, and it didn't work out. And I assume he would have said the same thing. Listen, he threw 73 pitches. He didn't have any of these high-intensity moments. There weren't any of these at-bats that you've seen with other guys who grind their way to 6 innings. 73 pitches he was dominating, gave up 1 hit, struck out 9. I'm rolling with a guy who's that hot. Didn't work out. You know, so you're going to get critics either way. The only thing I would say about this is it was immediate. It wasn't Monday morning after they lost, and then people said, what were you doing? I saw it immediately. I happened to be on Twitter watching the game, and people, I mean, left and right, like, what is he doing? You know, who's to say it would have worked out any better if he left them in, but I feel like the odds or percentages were on his side had he left them in.
Fans like it when things work, when you make a decision and it works. They like that.
Fans are weird that way.
Yeah, it is.
Let's just hope the Mariners get in this position someday where we're talking to Scott Service. Why'd you pull Marco after 5 2/3 innings in Game 6?
When I saw Marco tweet out about it, just like, what are you doing?
Really?
Yeah. I retweeted Marco last night. I mean, he saw a lot of former players and current players commenting on it, and Marco was one of them. Like, he did not agree with that move at all, as you might guess. All right, coming up, we'll talk some more football with the professor, John Clayton. He'll join us next year with Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Wow, you sure know a lot of stuff.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
The learning never stops on this show. It's what makes it great, right, Maura?
Yes, never ending.
Did you not just learn something?
Actually, I did. Yeah, before this segment. Dave threw out a saying, I guess.
Sheltered, innocent Matt Nelson.
No, he was not alone. You want to explain?
Jim, have you ever heard this phrase? Dollar waiting on a dime.
Yes, I have heard that.
And it means?
It means, I'm not sure.
Somebody really important waiting on somebody way less important.
And the reason it came up is you were waiting on Jim, who in this instance
was
the dime.
Ready, I said,
you were the dollar.
Dollar waiting on a dime.
Waiting on me for what?
what we learned.
Yeah. Oh, I've been sitting here the whole time.
Oh.
Okay. Ooh.
I just like in that scenario, Dave was the dollar, Jim was the dime.
Okay, well, shove your dollar where the sun don't shine,
oh,
baby.
And it rises. Ooh, look at that.
All right.
It's a perfect example.
I'm here. I'm ready to work at all times.
That's cute. What else did we learn, Maura?
We learned our dogs would be living the life if we won $1 million.
I'm picturing him just trotting out the door with his dog just floating on air. Just, I just want $1 million. I just want $1 million. What am I going to do first?
There's just no way until that's in your hand, though. Would you do that? What would you do?
No, you know what? To be honest, I'd probably be more like what you're saying and just like, wait, am I reading this correct? I might get somebody to double check it for me. Like, tell me if I'm seeing this properly.
Right.
You think he was talking to his dog on his walk, Bob, and saying, hey, you get a filet tonight?
I would have been.
You get a filet tomorrow night, and you get a filet the next night?
Said, you're going to eat whatever you want for the foreseeable future, Frank. Buckle up, kid. It's going to be the gravy train. Yeah, we were talking about that story of a guy in St. Louis who thought he won $1 million prize for fantasy football, left the house, took his dog for a walk, came back, realized they changed the stat on Jared Goff, giving him a sack instead of a tackle or something along the lines, and he ended up winning a little over $3,000.
Yeah, it's like a cruel joke.
It is cruel. Yeah, because it was a run. I mean, it was a run play. So, yeah. To me, though, I would have never taken my dog for a walk or called anybody and said I won until it was, like, firmly in my account.
Dog would have been sitting inside for days. Well, still not in my account.
I would be like, I don't even want the $3,000. Okay? Yeah.
He said he went back to check it again because he just wanted to see his name at the top of the board with the $1 million next to it. And then can you imagine how his heart must have sunk when he saw that he only got $3,000?
How did it go, though? Wasn't it like 28 people got $3,000? How did the $1 million go to?
I'm not even sure how that works.
20 or 30 people.
Maura is our resident fantasy football queen.
Yeah. I don't do daily fantasy because I think that's more for if you gamble a lot. Oh. I'll put money into a pot for all season.
Right.
You're talking about a degenerate gambler there. Is what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I think we have an expert.
We've got a resident.
So I'm not exactly sure how all that works. I think you have to pretty much get like the highest scores for almost every high scorer that week in their position to get $1 million. Wow. And he must have almost had it with Goff, and then that just threw everything off.
You think he hates the Rams now? You think he hates Goff now? He's rooting against Goff?
He should write a letter to all of them and tell them, you know, you cost me, you know, this amount of money.
Why don't you guys make up the difference? I want pocket change for all of you.
Yeah, each of you chip in.
What else did we learn, Maura?
We learned why Dave might be into Luke Wilson's new TV binge.
It's called Attack on Titan. It's one of those anime shows. And to be honest, it was pretty fire, man. I'm not an anime guy. I'm not going to go watch a million more things, but I was into it. But here's the thing. And he said this, and he was correct. You've got to watch it in Japanese with English subtitles. I know that might sound absurd, but it makes it way better.
This sounds like a Dave Wyman type of show.
Yeah, Dave, you can't watch it with dubbed English. It just isn't good.
Yeah. Well, I'm an old man, and I always have the captions on anyway. So.
Oh, so you're good.
Yeah.
What have you got?
It's a funny visual of you just sitting at home with the captions going at all times.
No, nobody else does that?
No.
The closed caption? I do that occasionally,
I used to do it when we were doing the shows from all at home doing our shows because I couldn't have the volume on the TV, so I would put the closed caption on. But, if volume's not a problem, then I don't have those on.
Yeah, Kathy and I have headphones.
What were you going to say, Jim?
Oh, yeah. Sometimes I watch on headphones.
You watch TV with headphones on?
Yeah, sometimes.
Oh, wow.
Okay, Attack on Titan. Would you like to hear the Wikipedia version of it? It's a Japanese manga series written and illustrated. Okay, it's set in a world where humanity lives within cities surrounded by enormous walls that protect them from gigantic man-eating humanoids referred to as Titans.
Sounds like fire.
Yeah, Luke likes
Hundy P.
Hundy P, my guy. He's got some good lingo, doesn't he?
Yeah, it's... watching a cartoon is what
I gotta tell you. It's fire.
Yeah.
Dave's like, it's a cartoon. I don't care.
I thought a texter made a good comparison, saying he's the next Pat McAfee, Luke Wilson. I get a kick out of McAfee. I don't know if you guys do or not.
Yeah, he's funny.
Well, he can say whatever he wants, right? It's mm-hmm. a podcast, so that's what Luke needs to do.
Yeah. Somewhere where he's unfettered. He can just do whatever he wants, say what he wants.
Right.
You can't have the restrictions of the FCC. Hogging right. him. He can't function within that umbrella, under that umbrella. It's no good for him.
Yeah. Or any other banned words or phrases.
No, he's got to be able to just let it all go. Just let it come out. That's his charm. What else did we learn, Maura?
We learned Luke Wilson's thoughts on Jim talking to someone who's been to the moon.
What about the fact that Jim sat next to a guy on the plane? Who was on the moon. Is that right, Jim?
The guy that hit golf balls on the moon.
Really? Jim, you sat next to him?
Yeah, I was on a flight between Houston and Chicago.
And what did he say?
He told me about hitting golf balls on the moon, but you probably don't believe that happened either.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you, Jim. If you ever sit next to me on a plane and you want me to tell you about hitting golf balls on the moon, I will.
Okay, thanks.
Just implying you could have been sitting next to any Tom, Dick, or Harry, and they just made that up.
Yeah.
So it was Alan Shepard. I forgot his name.
Yeah. I was going to say Buzz Aldrin for some reason.
Did you recognize him, Jim? How did that even?
I'm not sure exactly. We were in first class, and I think we were having a drink together, and then we just started talking, and I don't know how it came up, but I do remember talking to him about hitting golf balls and what it was like on
I'll
the
bet
moon
you,
and stuff.
I'll bet you here's how it started. That he looked at you and goes, hey, Jim, you ever been to the moon?
Isn't that how you start every conversation if you have?
What's the weirdest place you've ever golfed, Jim?
No, do you remember those shots, though, Dave, of him up there hitting shots and the ball just taking off? And
it went forever.
I just like that Luke is basically implying that could have been anybody just making stuff up, and Jim believed him.
Jim could tell you that,
Just sitting next to a crazy person making up stories.
Yeah, I was the guy. I'm the guy that did this. I invented the shoelace. Just say whatever you want.
I like when you pull up the images. It's all, golf balls, moons, everything. And then there's about three down, Mike Trout hitting a golf ball to the moon.
To the moon.
Remember that video that was going around where he cranked that thing? Oh.
What else did we learn, Maura?
That's it. Well, we started out with an extra one, so yeah.
That's right. That's right.
I ruined things.
David gave us a bonus one.
Oh, okay. Dollar waiting on a dime. All right.
Yeah.
I like it. All right. I want to thank our guests today, Jeff Hobson, John Clayton, and the great Luke Wilson. If you missed any of today's show, you missed a whole bunch. So head to the podcast page at 710sports.com. Click the podcast button, scroll down to our picture, and click on that. Everything you missed is waiting there for you each and every day. We'll be back tomorrow right here with Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.